So today's daf is daf tzaddik vav, but I should start a little bit before, because I said I would start over. Remember that we ended up yesterday with the three different shitot. We had Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. And we brought a raya to Rav Papa's approach in the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rav Papa, the din was that everybody holds that if the gezela has in it shevach right now, let's say there's a lot of wool on the back of the animal, there's a vlad in the para, everybody's agreed that that goes to the gazlan. The only question is how much. So if Rabbi Shimon, who said shuma, he held that the shuma means that we treat it as if he was a worker that had gotten into a share arrangement. So a shepherd would usually take, depending on how much work you need to do in that area, either 50% of the difference between the grown sheep and what it was given to him, or a quarter, or a third. Again, it all depends. So the maximum shlish will Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda would hold you take the whole thing. As Rabbi Meir says, we give the whole thing back. Again, question of Rabbi Meir, we ended up understanding what we held, that we oughtn't allow a man to make profit with something that he stole, and therefore we have this nas issue, and we give the whole thing back. Now, the next question was, and this was Amar Rav Ashi, one-third of the way up from the Amud Beit, when we said, according to Rav Papa, that Rabbi Shimon holds lemechta l'shlish v'l'raviya, Amar Rav Ashi ki avina be'Rav Kahana ibayilan, we were wondering, when we were learning in Rav Kahana's yeshiva, that according to Rabbi Shimon, who says lemechta l'shlish v'l'raviya with the shakel gazlan, that the gazlan takes not the entire shevach, but rather some proportion, which would have been the equivalent if he had been working for the guy. The question is whether ki misakin alei b'dami misakin alei odima mi b'sora shakel. We were wondering whether, when we pay that guy his piece of the action, his third or his fourth or his even his half, would we be actually giving him the product? In other words, he could taina that I'm going to keep some of the busser of the vlad, or he can taina that he's going to be keeping some of the shearing, or is it just that the owner takes all and will repay him for the work that was done to allow him, the owner, to get the shevach? Upashtana, and we brought a raya from the following: Miyadi Amr Nachum Amr Shmuel Shlosha Shamin Lehena Shevach Umalino Tan Bedamim. There are three cases in which we will estimate the value of the shevach, and then the one who had the right to the shevach will only be able to recoup that value in money, but he won't be able to actually keep the very materials. And these are they: the Elohim Bechor LePashut. And here the case was, you will recall that between the death of the father and the time in which they probated the will, and they ended up getting the chaluka in court, and everything is settled, a lot of money, meanwhile, was invested into the property, and now it's worth a lot more than it was. Normally, the Bukhar would take, let's say, the two-thirds, and if there was one Pashut, the one Pashut would take the one-third, which means the Bukhar gets the equivalent of two children, which is if there were three children there. The Pashut, however, says in this case, he says, look, there's so much that we've invested that it doesn't make sense for us to split that way, because what you're doing is you're taking property that's worth $3 million. You're taking $2 million, and I'm getting $1 million. And then you say, well, but what about all the money that we put in? I'll give you that in cash. I'll pay you back in cash, but I want to keep my two-thirds of the property that I inherited. I say, instead of you giving it back to me in cash, so you can owe me $500,000 for the share of the additional value, give me $500,000 in the property. But you won't take two-thirds of the property. You'll take less than that in order to give me the equivalent value of the current value. You certainly don't get two-thirds of what we put in afterwards. The din is he cannot say that, and that the Bechor can pay him off in cash and keep the money. So that means the Shevach was turned into a value which now he has a right to pay in cash. So the Bechor LePashut. Another case would be a Bal Chov who is coming now to collect a field that was owed him. Meanwhile, some poor buyer had bought this field and had invested in the field. Now the buyer says, wait a minute, you can't walk off with that field. That field includes another $1 million worth of investment of sprinkler systems and 5 years worth of tree growth and God only knows what else. Give me 20% of the karka to keep, because that's how much the investment was worth. The actual Balchov could say, look, I'm very sorry. I'm going to take the whole thing because my lien was against the property and I'm going to pay you for your investment. That's the second case. And the third case, amazingly, the third case is even a Balchov le Yitomim. He can even now go down into the property that was inherited by a Tumim, where there was a lien against his property, and they had put in a bunch of money in this, and they want to say, look, just let us keep that amount. 20% of the value is our investment after the death of our father. He could take the whole thing and just give them back their investment. He does not have to leave them the actual property. Now, that was the last, I think we did that yesterday at the very end, but since we're starting the sugya today, let's just get our facts clear. So continues the Gemara now, Amar Leh Ravina L'Ravashi, I can't believe that. You're saying that quoting now, that the din, this din would be true according to Shmuel? You said that three people are able to collect and pay back in value, but Shmuel himself doesn't say that. Mi'omar Shmuel b'chov l'lokeach yoiv le'shevach. I happen to know that Shmuel is quoted as saying, Omar Shmuel b'chov is gove et ha'shevach. That the din over there is that according to you, the Baal Chov is going to be paying him back. But Shmuel said the Baal Chov actually keeps the Shevach, and the guy has to go and collect the money that he invested from the man who sold it to him. And you're taking for granted. I mean, the only question is, does he have to pay him back in cash? Can he pay him back in cash, or does he have to leave the karka with him? Shmuel says he doesn't pay him back anything. Not cash, not karka. Let him work out the problem that he's got for his investment with the seller. So according to this, you're taking for granted something that's against Shmuel. Amalei, that's true, but for heaven's sakes, it depends on the case. Lo kasha, kan b'shevach ha-magia l'ktafayim, v'kan b'shevach she'en magia l'ktafayim. So the way Rashi always understands l'ktafayim means that the shevach has grown to the point, let's say the shevach is tvua, peirot, it's grown to the point where it can now be, so to speak, carried on your back. In other words, it's time for marketing. It's already not tzorech lekarka. If it's not tzorech lekarka, then we view it as something that he has no right to take. So there, the only question is, does he leave him in the ara connected that shevach, or does he just pay him cash for that shevach? That's the issue.
But it's ripe and fallen off the tree, or is
it? Huh? It's ready. It's ripened and ready. It's ready for harvesting. So in a case where it was magia l'ktafayim, so then he, of course, has to give it to the lokeach. The only question is, how does he give it to the lokeach? In a case where it's part of the earth, it happens to be that the earth is worth more because it's got these buds on it. I mean, but it's not looked at as a separate entity. Omar Leh, so Ravina said to Ravashi, that can't be true either, because, look, anybody that's hung around Shmuel's Bezdin knows that Ma'asim B'cho Yom, that Kabag B'Shmuel, Afilo Shevach HaMagiel Niktafayim. We know for a fact that Shmuel allows collection by the Baal Chov, even if Shevach that's Magia L'Ktafayim, without needing to pay compensation for the investor, and the investor's got to deal with the seller. So you're telling me no. It's only if it was not Magia L'Ktafayim. I can tell you, it's not only me. You can ask anybody. Anybody that's watched that court in action knows. I mean, it's on TV every day. You know, the Shmuel's Bezdin. And everybody knows. They call it, what?
Judge Judy.
Anybody. So how can you say that? Am I like, all right, well, lo kasha. Actually, it depends how much is owed. Question, therefore, would be, how much is owed? If he is owed not only the value of the land stripped from its improvement, but the land together with its improvements, so then he has a right to collect it. But hada lo masik be ela kashir ara. If he's not owed those improvements, then he has to deal with the issue. So he's got to pay back the investor. But if he's owed the whole thing, so then the guy that owes him has to deal with the issue. The guy that owes him is the seller, which means that the buyer, and remember, the buyer was well protected. The buyer knew perfectly well when he bought the field that there was a lien on it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been high to pay the lien. Or at least he could have known, and if he didn't, it's his problem. But the buyer was protected. So he went ahead, and he invested in the land. He knew how much was owed. And he knew that this guy could come and collect, let's say, $2 million kenega this karka. He knew that the karka was only worth $1.5 million, and he goes and invests another $500,000 in it. So now what does he want? So he knows that the seller owed this guy, this third party. So when the third party comes and collects, he took it on himself to deal with the seller, not with this guy. On the other hand, if he was only owed 1.5, now he puts in another 500,000 in investments, there, indeed, he has the right to say to the guy, look, I mean, you know, what do you mean I should deal with him? You deal with him. That's not my problem. You take what's due to you. So then we question whether he can insist, I want to keep some of the actual value of the real estate, or whether he could just get cash back. So there's two completely different cases over here. Don't bring me riots from what you see on TV when you're not familiar with the entire context. That would be like watching CNN and coming to a conclusion. Omar Leh. So he said, you know, this whole discussion seems to take one thing for granted, and that is, what would be the halakha? Let me ask you. What would be the halakha when somebody's coming to collect from a buyer, if that buyer says to the person, to the creditor, he says, look, I like this piece of property, and I'm going to keep this piece of property. Now, what's your problem? The seller, to me, owes you money. I'm going to pay you cash. Can he pay the cash, which, of course, then he'll go back and sue the seller for, instead of giving up the real estate that he bought from the seller? Or is he forced to actually give up the real estate? Now, you're asking about the sheva. But the truth is, there's a machloket about the real estate itself, which would make the discussion about the sheva an absurdity. If he has a right to give cash to the creditor and say, I don't want you to take this piece of property. You've got a lien, I'm going to pay you for your lien. So then obviously, if there's shevach there, which is owed him by that creditor, the creditor wants to pay him cash back and take the property, that's an insane situation. He can say to the guy, look, buddy, if I had cash in my hand, I would be able to keep you away from this piece of property in its entirety, and I would pay you cash. Now, you owe me cash, and you're saying, no, I'm going to give you cash instead of the property. Does that make sense? You owe me the cash for the shevach of my investment. So you're going to take my real estate? I've paid you the cash in advance because you're taking the shevach. So leave behind the amount of real estate that would be connected to that shevach. So this entire discussion, therefore, can only make sense. Hey, Nicha, and I don't understand why we're making that assumption before we made this discussion. I mean, we can have this discussion if you follow the shita, that where a buyer has money available to pay off someone who's coming to take away his real estate with a lien that he had against the seller, that you cannot pay him back in cash and he has a right to walk off with the field. Now we can have a discussion. Does he have a right to walk off with the field? Can that get the value of the shevach also? But, I mean, according to the Mandi Omar, Ela Lamandi Omar Yitle Zuzi Lelokeach, if you hold like the Mandi Omar who says that if that buyer had cash available and he's liquid, he would be able to buy off the lien and tell the guy, you have no right to exercise a lien. The lien gives you rights of collection. I'm paying you those collections, okay? Now get off of my property. So there, Matzi Mesalik Le Labalchov, so then can't he obviously tell the man, listen here, Lemale, if I had cash, Havi Mesakin Alach Bikule Ara, I would have thrown you off of this field completely. So now you owe me cash for the shevach. So then, hashtahav li giruya da'ara shir shvachoy. Leave me the little piece of land, for heaven's sakes, at least that, which is connected to the cash that you owe me. It makes no sense to give you the rights to walk off. And that machloket was not settled. And you're coming along now and saying, well, I mean, it's a given, of course. Why is it a given? Why are we only discussing now the shevach? Omar le, that's not necessarily the case. Because the reason we didn't get into that issue is because I can easily construct a case where it isn't an issue. Namely, not that he had a generalized lien against this person's property. He had a specific mortgage on this piece of land to be paid back out of it, which is called an apotiki. Remember, apotiki means apo to hei koi. Let the debt be chal against this land. That type of lien is a very different kind of lien than a normal lien. The machloket about whether you can buy off somebody's lien if you want to keep the real estate is one issue. But when it comes to an apotiki, that was the whole point of an apotiki, was not to allow someone to buy off the lien, because the reason that you made the loan was because you always took into consideration the fact that, look, maybe this is a way that I'll get the piece of property that I want. So in that case, you can't force the guy off. There, everybody would agree that we can raise the issue of what about the shevach? Does he get paid back in cash for the shevach, or does the other guy get to keep the property connected to the shevach? When it comes to a normal lien, fine, so then it would depend. I agree, it would depend who you hold like, but I don't need to explain that if we can be talking about a case that is agreeable to everyone. So the issue as raised is a valid issue to every sheet that you know about, okay? So, Achmai Eskinan, Kikon Teshavi Niale Apotike. Apotike means the Omale Loye Elecha Piraon Elamize. The entire Piraon of your loan is meant to come out of that karka. Okay, so now we have this brilliant situation. It's just so beautiful to see the different levels of the Chalos of a lien, what happens in a transaction, who's taking responsibility for what element of a transaction, with precise cases, the difference between Shevach Magia L'Ktafayim, and the difference particularly between being owed Keneged HaShevach, when somebody has to take into consideration that it was already owed to the other guy. Omar Rava, Gazal V'Ishbiach. Okay. We know that at least in some of these cases, where you're mashbiach, though, I mean, it's true, it was machlokas earlier, but there were two approaches. Either we could say, gazal v'yishbiach, shino yeskeine, or there could be a takanat hashavim, which everybody was agreed to, if you're normally shino yeskeine. We made a takanat hashavim that a guy is able to keep that which is his mashbiach, okay? How about if he sells it? So he was gazal v'yishbiach, and now he sells it. Now, you can't say it's a takanat hashavim on a buyer, right? So, I mean, does the buyer get the right? Or gazal v'yishbiach v'horish? How about if he dies? So now, what are we going to say? For the atonim, there's a takanat hashavim. I mean, it's irrelevant. They weren't the ones who stole. So should we go back to the Ikar HaDin? The halacha is that mashi yishbiach machar, mashi yishbiach horish. No. Because of the fact that we were mizaka, the gazal, in this shevach, so then he had a right to it. Whatever it is, who cares what the reason was? But the point is that he was given now legal rights. Those legal rights can be sold, and those legal rights can also be part of a inheritance. But my question is this, said Rabbi, boy, Rabbi. All of this is where the Goslin already had been zochet to those rights. They were actualized. He was mashbiach. Now he had the rights to be mashbiach. He was mashbiach. And he sold that which he was mashbiach. How about if he only had the rights to be mashbiach? Meaning he sold the property before he was mashbiach, or the avid before he was mashbiach, or the kli before he was mashbiach. We'll see the differences between real estate later on. And now the buyer was mashbiach. So there already, there's certainly no takanat hashavim to keep the shevach for the buyer. The only rights of takanat hashavim was because the gazlan, we were afraid, wouldn't do teshuvah. I mean, in this case, what does the gazlan care? The gazlan will do teshuvah, he's going to pay the guy back. Good. Now the owner comes to the one who bought it and says, look, I'm really sorry, but, you know, this is my stuff that you were mashbiach. So is there that right for the lokeach as well? That's my question. Yishbiach lokeach ma. Batar di'iboy, after he asked, raised the issue, Adar Pashta, he said, I know the solution myself. It's clear to me that every cell is a cell of all rights. If a gazlan has a right to be mashbiach, it makes no sense to say that the right is granted only after the shevach. When the shevach appears, now we'll give the shevach to the gazlan. If we make a takona, that would be because of takanat hashavim. So that takona is a description of rights that you have. Since you know that if you were mashbiach, you could keep it. When you sell it, you're selling the rights that you have in it, which include the rights to takanat hashavim. So again, to look at the reason for a thing is irrelevant. We need to look at the mechanics of the thing. The mechanics of the thing is that the takana granted certain rights to a gazlan, and therefore those rights are not only keepable, they're sellable. And therefore when he sold it, he certainly sold all zechut shtavah liyodo. Boy Rava, how about yishbiach ovid kochavi mahu? How about if a non-Jew was mashbiach? Now, we thought that meant that a non-Jew stole it. What are you saying? Takanta lovik yochavi make of an avar. I said, we should make a takana that a goy who's a ganav, we should make it possible for him to keep the shevach of the geneva, because after all, we want to make it easier for him to do tshuva. What's it our business? We're not in any type of relationship with him that requires us to give up our money so that he should do tshuva. No, that's not the case. I'm talking about Latrifa. You're going to Zavni Li Yisrael. A guy stole it, but then he sold it to a Jew. So ultimately, it's going to affect Lokeach. So, well, what kind of answer is that? So, if I get... A Jew who buys now from a stolen goods from a goy. So he boils down to what did he buy? He bought whatever rights a goy had. You just admitted that we would never have created a takanat hashavim for an akum, right? So what's your question? We just said, the buyer is buying whatever rights the gazlan has. Okay. In this case, the gazlan doesn't have rights. Okay. So what's your question? No. It's not so posh. I'm asking a brilliant question. A brilliant question. The case over here was that the ganav was a Jew. And the final buyer was a Jew. But there was a guy in between. That's the question. The issue is whether we look at the holistic situation or we have to look at the mechanics of each stage. That's the question. And that is a brilliant question. So it's talking about over here, Lo Tzricha Kegon, the Gozal Yisrael. And Yisrael steals it. So he has a Takanat HaShavim. Now, he sells it to a guy. And then that guy, he was Mashbiach already. So he was Zochet to the Sheva. Now he sells that shevach to the Akum. An Akum goes now and sells it to another Yisrael. So that means the first stage of the Takanat HaShavim was a Gazan or a Yisrael. The first buyer, however, shouldn't have gotten any rights to that, because why should we make a takana for the lokea? Since he's an akum, he's not part of our social contract. Now, however, the end result is it went back to Yisrael. Do we look at the mechanics of each stage, or do we look at a holistic transaction? A Jew stole and sold ultimately to a lokeach who's a Jew. Generally speaking, the market situation is such that a buyer can know that if there was shevach, he doesn't have to worry about the source of the goods. In this case, he got it from an akum, but that akum had bought it from a Yisrael who had stolen it. So my question is, Mi'amrina, given the Meikara Yisrael v'Hadar Yisrael, after Rabbana Takanta, do we say that holistically we've got a typical case, a Gazan Yisrael and a Bayer Yisrael? So therefore the Takana would be applicable here. Or do we say that since mechanically it breaks down? Because if you look at each step, the Alvet Kachamim Be'emtza breaks now the ability of the final Yisrael to buy it from him. So then, in such a case, perhaps Lo Abdul Rabbana Takanta was at that stage now that the Takana broke down. Teku. That is a standing issue. That's not a simple question. Omrif Papa. Haiman de Gazal Dikla Micha. We're getting into the particular details now of some cases that would be perhaps Shinui and perhaps not. Let me go through a few cases. A guy steals a palm tree, and then he murders that palm tree, the Katle, which in palm trees consists of cutting them down, the poor bleeding heart palm. Is now lying there dead on the ground. Now, Afagav the Shadim Yarli Aradidei, even though he takes it off of the field and moves it into his own property, they say, well, that would be definitely a Kenyan. It's no longer what it was, is it? No, Lokani. That's not a Kenyan. Because my time, Amikor Dikla Mikri Vashtanami Dikla Mikri, the change is not even sufficiently great to change its name. And therefore, it's not considered to be Shinui. Now, that does not mean, as Tosis explained earlier, that every Shinui necessarily has to be a Shinui Hashem. But where a Shinui did not really affect the object qua object, but rather ancillary elements. In other words, before the tree was growing, so in another 10 years it would have looked different. Now it's not growing. That's already, in terms of wood, a rather weak argument. So if it's looked at as a completely different entity, fine. Then I understand that that is an indication that it's sufficient to be Kena. If not, not. But obviously there are cases where this wouldn't be important, what it was called. But here it is important. So since it was initially called a Dekel, people still refer to it as a Dekel, it's not considered to be a Shinui. Dikla v'avid guvi, lokani, because it's still called Ashtem, a guvi de dikla mikre. If it was cut into, let's say, firewood, but it's noticeably a Dekel, it's now chopped up Dekel, that's how people refer to it. So then it's called guvi de dikla. It's also not a particular change. But if you had pieces of a decal that you turned into beams, avdina kishurit, so then, even though it wasn't smoothed down to be mamish lumber, then you would be kona. If you had large beams, kishuri ravarviv, avdina kishuri zuchi, you make them into small beams, also lo kona. But avdina kitsutsaita, if you turn it into lumber, then kona, because then it has a different name, it's called lumber. Omar Rabbi Haiman de Gozer Luliva Bavdinu Hutzi. Kone, to be called Luliva, Mikrevash to Hutzi. You'd steal a lulav. So a lulav is like a straight branch where all of the leaves are still mechubra to the branch on top. You pull out the individual leaves. So now you have basically a fan, like a palm fan. So then that changes its name. It's called first a lulav. Now we call it Hutzi. If you take the hutzi and you separate the actual leaves by pulling them apart where they're joined, and now you've turned it into a broom. So hutzi v'avidu chufya, you're also kona, because initially you called it a hutzi. Before it was called a palm frond, and now it's called a broom. Vashta chufya. Chufya v'avde shashura lo kona. However, if you have a broom and then you turn it into a tied up, Rashi is a chevel, but in other words, it means now that like on the top of the broom, you always tie that initial part, and then you allow it to fall apart. So here you were makasher it all the way. Then you're not kona, because you can always just take off the part that you tied and turn it back into a broom. Now the truth is that in sukkah there's a machloket about whether this means that you detach the leaves, they'll have the kashrus of a lulav. You detach the leaves from the shidra and now just tie them. That would make more sense over here. So that if you actually interwove the leaves, you can always tear them apart. But that would depend on the sheet of what a chufya is in sukkah. Boy, Rav Papa, nechaka tiyomet mal. How about if you had a kosher lulav, and it were taken for granted in Rif Papa that there is an innate difference in terms of the shame between a lulav, which people are going to buy for yontif, and a palm branch, which nobody would call a lulav around Sukkot time, right? That ain't no lulav. That's just worthless. So nechleka, it's chach, exactly. So nechleka tiyomet. How about if the middle, or again, you know, whatever the psak is, the gabi sukkah, the most of the upper part of the branches, the middle branch all the way in the middle, you know, we're not going to go into the ilkas lulav right now, but whatever the din is on the lulav, which people usually look just at that middle branch, even though obviously the other branches, if it was rov, would also have been nechleka. And to see if it's now still connected if, at the joining part of the leaf. Suppose it was torn apart.
Ma. Well,
you know, I mean, it's the old Sukkot Pesach interrelationship. You know, 15th. That's where they came up with it. No, it's just that the Julian calendar ends up having Sukkot fall out on Pesach. Okay. Since they wanted to make all these tikkunim, you know. So what would be the din? Ma. Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Maton, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nitla Tiyomet Pasul. If you tear off the top leaf, so then the lulav is pasul, I assume. So my lav wadin onechleka, that would be true even if it was just torn apart at the joining piece, at the end of the leaf, and it wouldn't be kosher, and since it's not kosher, so that's a major change. Not to Shinoi. He said, no, maybe not. Maybe Nitla lo, Nitla shiny, dachosalam. It's something missing is obviously worse than something that is just torn apart. Ikiri Amri, but others say that he actually brought a raya that nechlekat yomit is possible. Because Amr Rabbi Batona Rabbi Shimon Levi, nechlekat yomit nase kemishin nitlat yomit upasal. So then according to that, it would certainly be a shinoi, shmami. Amr of Papa Haiman de Gazal Afra Michari Vavdi Levinat. Somebody steals dirt. He processes now this offer, and he makes it into bricks, a little brick plant. He needed to, ran out of material for bricks, went into somebody else's quarry, takes the stuff, and he goes down and turns it into bricks. Is that called a shinui? The din is, says Rav Papa, it's not a shinui, lo kani, because you can always grind up the brick if you really want to, turn it back into what it was. I mean, what's the problem? It was dried in the sun. It's so big deal. My time, lo namash vilei afra. You can always turn it back into dirt. But suppose he took bricks and ground them up into offer. So you say, well, but this is reversible in both directions, isn't it? No, it's kani. Because what are you going to say? My amr, why can't you just take that same dirt and put it back into a brick? Because that would be a different brick. That's the point. So, this is not that brick. Upanim chadashot bo'ulakan. This is a different leveina, and memela, there is no way to say that it's reversible. Or if I try to know I'm sure.
The problem with the grave liners, concrete grave liners, where they bury the people, and whether that's considered offer or not. And I unfortunately, I myself had to deal with this kshayla, and the big posting said that concrete grave liner is not considered offer. And another rabbi said it wasn't here.
Yeah, but we're talking about levena. Levena is not concrete.
Clay
is just earth. It's a completely different material. Concrete is an actual change. It's not just it dries in the sun and keeps it together.
What concrete would be much like a chemical change.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That was the brilliance of the whole concrete revolution. That's why we can build tall buildings.
What is that? It's not just dirt. It's more than that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. But in any event, this is a fascinating machlokas, Rashi and the Rosh. Very fascinating machlokas about how seriously we mean the words panim chadashot bo'olakan. Rashi says panim chadashot bo'olakan means that no snowflake is similar to another. And therefore, wherever you're dealing with a new construct, it's never precisely the fact that you call it as a very gross term, this is a brick and that's a brick, this is a snowflake and that's a snowflake, doesn't make it interchangeable. So in the middle of the new configuration is never going to be precise in the old configuration. And therefore, you cannot say, I've restored it to what it is. The Rush says this doesn't mean to be literally, to take it literally as panim chadashot bo'olakan. What it means is that wherever you have, and this is a brilliant understanding of the Rush, wherever you have a holistic construct, it's by definition not what it was. Because it comes out of nowhere, essentially. Every new construct is a construct. There's no such thing as a brick, in a sense. A brick is what we call that, which is a conglomeration of these little pieces that have been put together. But the brick aspect of it, in Zen terms, doesn't exist. There is no brick. Right? So what you're looking at is a brick. It's not this piece, not that piece, and not the combination of pieces. It's rather the interrelationship between things that don't have any reality. That interrelationship is what we form in our mind that we call a brick. Therefore, anything which is a construct, says the Rush, will never be what it was before. It disappeared from the world. Now you've recreated a construct. You can't recreate a construct. You've created a construct. So by definition, it will always be Panim Chadashot Bo'olakan, even if you could magically place every single grain in exactly the situation it was before, so that molecularly it would be indistinguishable, it would still be a different brick.
So each recreation of a brick is that's a creation of another brick.
Right, exactly. It's a new creation.
Yeah.
It's a new creation. Exactly. So the fact that it's indistinguishable wouldn't be even important. It would still be called... And that is, that's the meaning of panim. The panim chadashas is not the way that it appears to you. It's that in a holistic construction, you relate only to a panim. You don't relate to what the thing is. You relate to the way in which it's talking to you. So then it's a projection. Every projection is a new projection. It's the same projection. Well, what makes it the same projection? The fact that your mind is translating it into the same thing, but it isn't the same thing, obviously. It was now reconstructed. Reconstructed is not the same thing. It would be like saying that a copy is the original. A copy is not the original. Why not? Everything is exactly the same. It says precisely what it says. If it's a good copy, I can't. It's not the original, that's all.
Facts.
Right? Facts. So therefore, he's tiny, it wouldn't make any nafkamina. That's a beautiful, beautiful... the Eastern element of it, or the modern element of it, is remarkable. You don't think it would have to do with the economy or anything like that, man? Okay. We love you! So, the Levenata is part of the Shod Ba'olakan. Furthermore, the Omer of Pop. Another issue is that Haiman goes on Naska Micharvet. The same thing would be true. Somebody steals a ingot from a friend. And he turns that silver ingot of Itzuze, okay? He turns it now into cash by stamping out coins from it. Lokani. There's no kinyan here because you could simply melt it back down and turn it into an ingot again. So my time out of Avidle Naska. But suppose you stole coins and you turned it into an ingot, then you would be kinda. Because my amrit hadar avid lezuzi, what are you going to tell me? You could always turn it back into coins. No! That's panim chadashot ba'olakan. It's not the same coin. This is a new coin. It's a new construct. Well, I mean, you have to know the right people. Shechimi, v'avdinu chadati lokani. Now, if you have old coins that have been blackened by age, and you polish them up with the right kind of chemicals and so on, you make them pretty again. So in that case, it's not considered to be a kinyan. Chadati v'avdinu shechumi. But if you have, because you could always, obviously, they'll get old again. But chadati v'avdinu shechumi, if you had new coins, and now you've used them to the point where there are shechum, they've now become blackened, you are cornered them. Why? What are you saying? Well, you could always, like when you were kids, take the pencil eraser and polish up the penny, and now it's all nice and shiny again. You ain't going to fool anybody that this is a new penny. A new penny, it's not. And therefore, mida yadiyah shechmayo, that you can always detect that this has been a polished up coin. But it's not the same as when it's fresh out of the mint, and therefore that is considered to be a shinui. Zeh aklal kativ is the mishnah kola gazlanim mishalmim kisha'ata gizela. We said that. I mean, what new thing was added by that kalal in the Mishnah? And then we know, of course, from the earliest part of the sugya, we know the answer to that. It's la tuye ha di omer rabbi la, that marvelous ma'amar that we had when we were talking about the din of tvichu mechira. So Rabbi La said, gonav tle v'nasa ayel, egel v'nasa shor. The type of shinui which changes the identification of the animal, but is part of its natural growth. Nothing that you did and is always inherent in the young animal, but you stole a kid and now it became a goat. In that case, sorry? Or a calf and it became now a shor. That is called a shinui and would be konet. And therefore, if you turn around now and do tvichu mechira, you would be potter on the tvichu mechira. Why? Shalo tovech, shalo mocher. It's no longer tvichu mechira of the stolen object. It was a man who stole a tzemed bakar. How do you say that in English? A team of oxen from, or was it 20 mule team, from his friend. So Azokarabu Karava, he goes ahead now and he plows in Zorabu Zara to be Zorea with the means, obviously, that he then went over it again to get the earth back over the Zraim. And Lesofa de Lamari, then he gives it back to the guy. The guy sues him for the use of his team. So Otto Lakam Reb Nachman. Omar Lahutzer Reb Nachman says, Zilo shumer shvacha d'ashpach. Go and see how much value has been added to that guy's field and let him pay. Omle Rava, what? Turi ashpach, ara lo ashpach. I understand. What are you saying? It's all the team. I mean, when the land goes up in value, it's not because the team worked on it. It's that the combination of the work of the team mixed with the fact that you've got land, that is the shevach. I mean, you're going to tell me that it's only a function of the team? That's crazy. That's completely unfair. I mean, the guy had a piece of land that now is going to be worth $200,000 and more than it was before because of all the work that's been put into it. And that work, of course, was done by a tractor that cost $500 to rent. You're going to say, let him pay $200,000. I don't understand what you mean. Omar, so Reb Nachman said to me, Kamina, Nishai Mekule, did I tell you that he should pay the whole thing? Split it. Paga Kamina, I mean that. That's the way we should figure. Omar, I mean, still, so, what's the case over here? A guy stole something. There was no shinui. He returned it. Now, where does the Mishnah say that you have to pay the rental for the time that it was in your rishus? It says in the Mishnah, you steal something, you return it. Now, where the heck did you come up with this? It's like a brand new halacha that a person is mechuyev to pay the rental of something that he stole, even though he ends up doing the Ashavat HaGezelah afterwards. This is outrageous. Sof sof gezelah v'ka'ad rebe'enei, and it's a Mishnah. The Tznan kol ha'gazanim mishalmim kisha'at ha'gezelah. Where is this coming from? Omar leis Reb Nachman said to Rav, you know what? I have told you so many times, just shut up. We're in the middle of a court case, okay? So lama minulacha ki yativ de medina lo temelim midi. I said, keep your mouth shut. When we are in the middle of a case, you want to discuss it afterwards, that's fine. Because the Omar, if you think that I don't know what I'm doing, let me just tell you something. You know Rav Huna? You like Rav Huna? He's a serious man. His judgment is valuable. You know what he says about me? The Omar Huna Karvin Aloy, Ana Ushvar Malcha, Achi Bedina. Rav Nachman and Shmuel are like brothers when it comes to them. Would you sit around and argue with Shmuel? Never. I dare you to stand up in the middle of that TV show, Shmuel's Besdin, and start arguing on the Psak of Shmuel. Would never happen. Now, why don't you keep your mouth shut when I'm doing it then? You really think I don't know the Mishnah? So you have to get now the defendant is, the judge doesn't know what he's talking about. For heaven's sakes, Hayinish Gazlana Aptiko, this guy is an old Gazlan. This is the way that he works. Comes time to need something, he goes and steals it, uses it and returns it. And then he says, well, I returned it, so sorry. And it's about time somebody does something about this. Uba'ina say. So I want for him to have, I'm doing this as a kenasis. Besdin has a right to arbitrarily decide the needs I need. And you shut. Gazal behema v'hiskina. Avadim v'hiskina. Says the Mishnah, suppose a natural process, not like Rabbi Loy. There was an animal here, and now it's an older animal. Or it's avadim, another older avadim. This, of course, was a case that we brought up earlier in the previous sugya. Mishalem kishata gezelah, and Rabbi Meir Omer, well, no, not necessarily. When it comes to the avadim, and remember, we said that the reason was avadim compared to karkaot, and Rabbi Meir says, karkaot is never able to be kena because karka ain't an exilet, since real estate is always called al shem haba'alim. So therefore, says Rabbi Meir, when it comes to avadim, you could certainly say, areshul chalafanecha. Gazal matbea v'nizdak peirot v'irkivu yayin v'ichmit mishalem kishata gezeila, where you stole something that the actual object became visibly ruined. So let's say you steal a coin and that coin now cracks. You steal fruit, the fruit rot. You steal wine and the wine becomes vinegar. You are now kona and you pay back what it was kishata gezeila, like the Mishnah, previous Mishnah said. But suppose nothing visibly changed. You stole a matbea, and now the government has decided not to honor those coins. They changed to euros. So now, you're going to return the matbea that isn't worth anything. Or truma. And the truma became tumea. But, I mean, it looks the same, smells the same. It was chometz, v'orvalava pesach. Or it was a behema that somebody used for sexual purposes, or v'avadazora purposes. And now it's not usable. Or was nifsalami agabi mizbeach with a mum that is not visible. Let's say doker shabayin. O shaita yotz ali sakel, maybe killed someone. And now it's asur ba'anot. That's not a problem. There you can say, areshul chalafanech. So there's a difference between something that is visibly changed or something that is clearly just possible because of a technicality. Areshul chalafanech? That's what Mishnah says. Omer of Papa. Well, let's wait till we do this again. Omer of Papa. When it says he's kina, doesn't mean literally it had to be a change in chronology. It doesn't mean iskina mamash. Afilu kachasha. Even if you made the animal or the eved worth less through, or even you didn't make it, but it ended up becoming kachush. But what do you mean? It says iskina. I mean, isn't that... The Mishnah said that for a reason. We talked about kachasha many times before. Va'anan iskina tanan. No. What the Mishnah means is kachasha kigun iskina. In other words, delo hadar bori, what it's talking about, is aging. That is to say, some process that does not go back to the way it was. Normally, kachash, which comes through melacha, can be rebuilt. But over here, maybe it became ill. But the point is that it's not referring necessarily to the passage of time. Omele Markishisha, Bereder of Chistel, Rav Ashi, interesting name for somebody who's talking about Zekena, right? So, Markishisha, the son of Rav Chistel, says to Rav Ashi, Yochanan, Mishmed, Rav Yochanan, Afilu Gonav Tlev, Anasa Ayel, Egel, Anasa Shor, even a natural change, it's part of the development of the animal, it's still considered to be a Shinoi, Vekan'o, Tavach, Umaka, Shalot, Toveach, Shalom, Mocher. What do you say about that? Give me a pat on the back. I've told you many times to keep your facts straight. Lo tachlif gavre. Will you stop getting mixed up between who said what? That is Rabbi Loa's mimer. That is not Rabbi Yochanan's mimer. Pat on the back. So, ha'umish made the Rabbi Loa yitma. Okay. Rabbi Meir omer bavadim omer lo reisha chalfanecha. And we had this whole discussion before. Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, if it's avadim, then avadim are like karka. Om Reb Chanir Bar Avadim Om Rav Halacha Rabbi Meir Rav Paskin like Rabbi Meir against the Chachomim Avodim are considered to be Karka Lagabe the din of Shinui. Is that reasonable? Rav Shavik Rabbanav Avik Rabbi Meir. Why would Rav Paskin like a Yochid in this sugya? Amre Mishum the Brayta Ipchatanya. He saw the Brayta. The Brayta said the opposite, as we saw earlier, that Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim were switched around. So Rav Shavik Matnit and Vavik Bright, I understand. Why would Rav ignore a Mishnah in which Rabbi Meir was in the minority and Paskin like a Brighta in which Rabbi Meir Shita here is the actually called the Shita the Chachomi? Well, no, I mean Rav Matnit and Ami Ipchatani. Rav had then, he switched around the Mishnah. Well, why would Rav switch around the Mishnah because of a Brighta? Well, why wouldn't he switch around the Brighta because of the Mishnah? My time in Rav, the Abik Matnit, Mekami the Brighta, Adarab, and Napik the Brighta, Mekami Matnit. No. We don't mean Rav switched the Mishnah. Rav had the Mishnah inverted. According to Rav, in the Mishnah, the correct girsa was that Rabbi Meir said that you could be Mishal and Kishat HaGzela, and you don't say HaReisha Chalafanach. The Chachamim say you say HaReisha Chalafanach. Or, you know what, maybe the way we said it before was true, that Rav actually turned around the Mishnah. But there's a reason. It's not that he turned around the Mishnah because of a bright. What happened was is that he found braytot in different places, all of which made it clear that we had a mistake over. It wasn't one brayta. So you're right, and normally, of course, you would have said the brayta was a mistake. But it could be that kilo apich, when you always trust a mishnah against a brayta, that would be a mishnah against one brayta, chodim kan achoda. But in a case where you have chodim kan mitart, and you have different areas in which a sugya seems to be consistently the opposite of the way it is there, then he actually would be mapich the mishnah. And I'll show you another, in a completely different context, that it was clear that it was Rabbi Meir who was the one that was saying we don't say Avdei Kimekarkoi. Over there we had a case where somebody is Machlif Parab Chamor V'Yalda. Now over here, there is a para in a barn somewhere, and this guy's exchanging a chamor for it, right? So you don't need to have the actual para to do the kinyan. The moment that he takes the chamor, the para belongs to him. Now he goes to the barn, and lo and behold, the para has given birth. Now, did it give birth before the exchange or after the exchange? So what? Or somebody sells a shifcha. And they come now, he comes to pick up the shifcha, his car, and all of a sudden it's a shifcha with a baby. Oh. Now, who owns the baby?
A
bonus. Uh-huh. So that's the question. One of them says, look, I know it was in my rishus. The other one doesn't have what to say. I don't know. So then the one that is Bori is Zachaba. But if both of them are Shema, then Yachloku, where Solomon said, cut that baby in half. That's right. So that would be now the Sumchis approach, that it's Maman Amutu B'Safek. So then, Yachloku. Now, how about if Zeh Omer B'Reshuti v'Zeh Omer B'Reshuti? If both of them claim to know that it was in their Reshut, Yishava Mocher Sh'B'Reshuto Yalda, the seller, should now swear that it had already given birth in his Reshus before they concluded the sale, and that's because the Fishikola Nishpa'im Shepat Torah Nishpa'im V'Lo Mishalmim, the rule is that every Shvu D'Oraita you swear and keep. So over here he swears and keeps. V'chachomim omrim, v'chachomim say, whoopsie daisy, ein nishboim lo al avadim v'lo al karkaot. Now that should be what Rabbi Meir should say. You can't swear about the case of the shivcha. You may be able to swear about the case of the chamor and the para, but how can you swear in the case of a shivcha if a shivcha is karka, where we have a pasuk that tells us that there is no shvua that is done on karka? Oh, now that should be, according to our gears in the Mishnah, what Rabbi Meir says. So again, we have another bride that it takes for granted that everything is inverted, and that actually it's Rabbi Meir who doesn't view the avadim kekarka, or the chachamim who do. So therefore, he paskened like Rabbi Meir. What do you mean? So therefore, he paskened like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Meir. So why does he say, halakha Rabbi Meir? So I halakha Rabbi Meir. Halakha Rabbanan mi baile. According to him, he's paskening like the Rabbanan. Let him say so. No, he's saying, you guys who have things confused, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, you better paskin like Rabbi Meir, because it isn't Rabbi Meir. It's really the Rabbanan. That's what he's saying. L'may davchito v'tanito. The way you have it inverted, and you're learning it. So there, halacha k'Rabbi Meir. That's all that he meant to say. John. Omer v'ashi. Ki avinu be'rifkane boilon. L'Rabbi Shimon di'omer l'mechsa l'shlish raviyo d'shoko gazin. Ki misalkin alei b'domi misalkin alei. Odimu mi'bisra shoko. ופשטן מיות אומר נחמן משמול שלושה שמין להן השבח ומעלין אותן בדמים ואלוהים וכל לפשוט ברחוב ללוקח וברחוב ליתומים אומר לרבין לרבשי מי אומר שמול ברחוב ללוקח יואב לשבח ואומר שמול ברחוב גובה את השבח אומר אלוקה שכאן בשבח המגיע לכתפיים וכאן בשבח שאינו מגיע לכתפיים אומר לבוא המעשים בכל יום וקומה גבישול אפילו שבח המגיע לכתפיים Amalei lo kasha, the masik be kishir ara ushvacha, vodolo masik be ela kishir ara. Amalei, okay, but the whole discussion is any chalamadi omer itle zuzil lo kech lo matzi besadak le balcho, fine. But the lamadi omer itle zuzil lo kech matzi besadak le balcho, labeli. In habile zuzil have a sakir al kabikule ara, so hashta at least have the gyur di ara shir shvachoi. Amalei yachma eskining on the shavini leapoteke. Amalei lo yelach apira on elamizet. Amar Rava gazal v'yishbiach umachar or gazal v'yishbiach v'horish. Mash yishbiach machar, mash yishbiach horish. But boy Rava, yishbiach lokeach. The two dots should not be there. Yishbiach lokeach mahu. But to the boy other pashta ma machar rishon l'sheni kol zechut shetavo liyado. Boy Rava yishbiach avik kachavim mahu. Amalei rach midif to ravin at what. Omrif Papa, I man the gaza dikla mihavri the katli. Afagav the shadi miyara liyara the day, lokani. My time and mikor dikla mikri vashta nami dikla mikri. Dikla vavid guvi lokani. Ashtam yes, guvi the dikla mikri. Guvi viavina kashuri koni. Kashuri ravrave viavdino kashuri zurte lokani. Avdino kitsu tsaita koni. Omar Rava, I man the gaza luliva viavdino hutsi. Koni, the mikor luliva mikri vashta hutsi. Hutzi v'avdino chufya koni, mikor hutzi v'ashto chufya. Chufya v'avde shashua lo koni, my time at other sata lo v'avde chufya. Boy Rav Papa. Netlika atiyomet ma'o, tashma diyomer Rabbi Maton, om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, nitla atiyomet posol, my love, hu adin lo nechlaka. Lo, nitla shayni, do chosa lo. Ikide amri tashma diyomer Rabbi Maton, om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, nechla atiyomet, naase kemisha, nitla atiyomet posol, shma minot. Omer of Papa, I'm on the gazel afra mihavri vavdi leveinata, lo koni, my timer, daughter mashvile afra, leveinata vavdi afra koni, my amr dima ada vavdi leveinata, hai leveinata achritihu, uponim chadashot baolakan. The Omer of Papa, I'm on the gazel naska mihavri vavdi zuzi, lo koni, my timer of vavdi le naska, zuzi vavdi na naska koni, my amr daughter of le zuzi, ponim chadashot baolakan. Shechimi v'avdinu charete, lo kani. Charete v'avdinu shechimi kani. Maya amr, tada ovid le charete. Mide yadi ha-shech mayu. Ze ha-klal. Kol ha-gazalim v'shom mikishata gezeila latuye mayu. Latuye odim rabi lo. Gonav tle v'naase ayel. Egel v'naase shor. Naase shinui biyadov u kena'o. Tavach u machar, shalo tavach, shalo u mocher. Omar, did I ever say Nishaime the Kule Paga Kamina? Omale Sov Sov Gzelahu Vikaadra Beina? The Tan Kalakas on him Sham Kishata Gzela? Omar, how many times do I have to tell you? Lamina Kakiativa Vedina Lotemila Midi? Diona Luna Karbin Eloi, Ana Ushvar Malka Ache Vedina? Hainish Kazlana Tiku, Benedikinis. Gazal Beima Viskina, Avadim Viskinum. Mishalim kishata gzela. Rabbi Meir omer ba avadim omer lo arisha chalafanecha. Gazal matbea venistak perot erkivo yayin vichmitz. Mishalim kishata gzela. Matbea venipsal truma venitmeit chameitz vavar al pesach. Beima venitavda ba bevera. O shenipsalami agabi mizbeach. O shaita yotza lisakel. Omer lo arisha chalafanecha. Omer of papa. Lo iskina iskina mamash. Alafilo kyachasha. Aiva anan iskina atna. Meaning the law had our barya. Omne Markishish bread of Kisravash, Yoch Kamrin Bishmed Rebbe Yochanan, Afil Ganapla Vanasa Ayal, Egel Vanasa Shor, Naaseshi Nui Biado Kenao, Tavahu Makash, O Taver Shalom Kamakan, Alav Amina Lakalotach Lev Gavri, O Mishmed Rebbe Loitmar, Rebbe Meir Omer Bavadim Omer La Rasha Khalafanach, Omer Khanib Bavadim Omer Rav, Halachak Rebbe Meir. What? Rav Shavik Rabban of Avik Rebbe Meir? Amin Yishum, the Braita Ibchatane. So, Rav Shavik Matnitin, Vavik Ibraita? Rav Matnitin, Amin Ibchatane. In my time, the Rav Dabik Matnitin, Kami Braita? Adarabha. Nebuchal Braita, Bekami Matin. No, no, no. Rav Nami Matnitin, Atnaye. Well, you know what? Maybe not. I mean, by Tema, Kilo Apich is only Chodemikami Choda, but Chodemikami Tarte Apich, the Tanya. Hamachalif Parabach Amor Vialda, Vachin Amochish Ibchato Vialda. Zeomer Bershuti Alda Vahala Shotek, Zachaba. Zeomer in Yodea, Zeomer in Yodea Yachloku. Zeomer Bershuti, Zeomer Bershuti, Ishava Mokersh. Bershuto Yaldav Shikon Nishmen Shabbatoran Nishmen V'lom Shamim Divrei Rabbi Meir V'Chachamim Omrin. That's all very nice for the para, but Ein Nishpaim Lo Al Avadim V'Lo Al Karkot. So then, wait a second. So now Alachak Rabbi Meir. Then according to him, that's the Rabbanan. So Alachak Rabbanan Yivoyle. That's what he's saying. Hakikama Lamay Deavchitu V'Tanitu. So then you should pass like Rabbi Meir, because that is the Rabbanan. Mm-hmm.